Every morning, find me moaning, 'cause of all the trouble I seen. Life's a losing gamble to me. Cares and woes have got me moaning. Every evening, find me moaning. I'm alone and crying the blues. I'm so tired of paying these dues. Everybody knows I'm moaning. Lord, I spend plenty of days and nights alone with my grief. But I pray, really and truly pray, somebody will come and bring me relief. Every morning, find me moaning, 'cause of all the trouble I seen. Life's a losing gamble to me. Everybody knows I'm moaning.
The unmistakable voice of Jose James, vocalist, band leader. He's an arranger, and he blends jazz forms, especially from the modern jazz era, with a little bit of hip-hop flavor. But his voice is just so wonderful. And this is from his very first album, The Dreamer. That song, by the way, was a jazz classic written by and composed by Art Blakey. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And today we're all going to class because there's something we need to understand a little bit more fully. We don't have a total grasp of it yet because we're getting to know this particular subject matter in dribs and drabs. And I'm talking about what's going on in France. So we'll be talking with, well, I should say our teacher, our guide for today is Gilbert Mercier. He is the co-editor-in-chief of News Junkie Post. We have looked to News Junkie Post to fill in other areas in our understanding, especially of things French and French-related. And Daddy Chéri, as you know, was recently on with us, telling us about Haiti and the international connections with Haiti. So you look to people who know what they're talking about. And so I asked, and he graciously accepted to fill in this role today. Hey, Gilbert, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Eutrice. And I sort of blushed for a moment here. Of course, you know, it's audio, but thank you for having me very, very much. And I just want also to say, because we don't talk about them as much as we should, that we also have a wonderful, talented writer from India on News Junkie Post. His name is Imtiaz Akhtar, and he covers India very, very well.
That's great to know. I did see the byline on a couple of articles, so that's refreshing. Well, let's start where we can, and where we can start is about the, at least on this side of the ocean, we're getting reactions to what's going on in France, and all kinds of different stories are kind of jammed together, but essentially the theme is that Paris is reeling, it's on fire, people are in the streets, and mayhem is just the order of the day. Just give us a short retort to that, and then we'll proceed with this.
What can I say, Utris? French people have a long tradition to be troublemakers, and they've been at it for a long time. They've been at it, as a matter of fact, since 1789, to be precise. And this is why, because what's going on right now is scaring a bit people, especially the Anglo-Saxon world, who never really had, I'm talking about specifically the UK and the US and of course Canada, never had this kind of flair of popular anger at the complete whole state. But this is not something new in France. And it's not going away. I mean, I mentioned in my News Junkie Post article that it's a little bit as a humoristic note that it's kind of in the French DNA to have the collective DNA, that is, to have that sort of capacity to make some kind of historical quantum leap if you wish and jump into the unknown. I mean, French people are not the only one. Haitian did it, and we discussed that, Ishiri and I, this topic all the time. They did it in a way that was perhaps even more spectacular, because it was not only a revolution, in close sequence to the French Revolution of 1789, but the element of slavery was also a lot more remarkable in that case. So it is this sort of ability of people who have been oppressed, exploited for a very, very long time, to say, we are not going to take it anymore, and we're going to go to the street. Today, I have to mention needless to say, you know, I've been following this extremely closely and talking about it on various radio outlets for a long time now. But the Macron yesterday gave a speech.
I just want to interject so that people would be familiar. This is referring to Emmanuel Macron, the president of France.
Yes, and the crisis in France is kind of getting deep, and it's shaking the political class, and it's almost shaking. In a way, it could be shaking the institution itself. You know, a lot of people among the Gilets Jaunes are asking for Macron to resign. Of course, I don't think that it's going to happen. I've actually made that prognostic and projection, and I don't necessarily think that it would be good either. What is more likely to do, and it's looking more and more like he will have no choice, will be to dissolve the Assemblée Nationale, the National Assembly, and call for new election.
Hold it there for one minute, because we have some bare ground to cover in terms of a background. Could you tell us what is actually happening? What is it that we're seeing on our television screens? What is going on? What is the state of affairs right now in France?
The state of affairs right now, today. Today, the high school students were on strike and demonstrating all over France and clashing with riot police. The reflex of the Macron administration was to, under the impulse of Edouard Philippe, the Prime Minister and the Minister of Interior, was to repress. We saw that last weekend with an enormous police and gendarmerie mobilization, close to 100,000 in France. And the yes, some of the protesters are violent. Some of them are looters, but not the majority of them at all. And the level of violence from the police using a tear gas grenade that contain an explosive charge who created many injuries, people losing their limbs and such, were just as big as the violence from the people in the Gilets Jaunes and the demonstrators.
What has brought things to this point? If you could give us a synopsis so we can get some working information that would help us, take the next step in analyzing this. All right, we have people in the streets and so forth, but let's back up just a little bit so that we can get an appreciation of what has happened in the immediate past, if you will, that drove or that served as the fuel for this anger.
It's basically what the Gilets Jaunes symbolize and are fighting against is the failure of capitalism and neoliberalism. Since 2008, since the crash of 2008, there's been measure of austerity. Of course, Emmanuel Macron was not president at the time, but it was still Sarkozy and then François Hollande. There's been measure of austerity, and the working class, the retirees, and the average people, middle class, have been squeezed. Their buying power have decreased because it has not been adjusted to the rate of inflation. So there is a systemic failure here, and it's the systemic failure of neoliberalism, of concentration of wealth in fewer hands all the time. There is also a sense of great disconnect in France between Paris, between the big town and especially Paris, and the countryside and the suburbs. They feel like they are not heard, and they are not. Macron, his problem, beside his arrogance and sort of contempt for the regular people, for the small people, is to have thought he could run a country with such a rich history of political struggle, like the CEO of a startup. You know, France is not a startup. So he's making compromise, but the compromise will not make the problem go away because he doesn't want to address the issue that the Gilets Jaunes request to be addressed, such as putting back the income tax, the ISF, l'impôt sur la fortune, putting back taxes, taxing rich people more. This is about a society that is more equal than others in the West and worldwide, but is regressing to a situation that is not overall that different of the one of the French society before 1789. okay, where you have a new elite, which is, of course, it's not the aristocracy anymore. It's the people that went to the ENA, École Normale d'Administration, such as Macron and his prime minister, Polytechnique and Sciences Politiques. Those are the three major ones. And people are, okay, the thing is, it could appear to be almost, and I've mentioned that numerous times to make that sort of distinction. We are not talking about, you know, the far right in France and in Europe and in the U.S. would want to see this, frame this, if you wish, as a struggle from the nationalist to the globalist, okay? This is not the case. This is not a populist revolt in the sense of nationalist populist, which I call for what it is, which is neo-fascist, that is prevalent in, let's say, Italy, for example. It will be in Brazil with Bolsonaro, and yes, I'm going to make that jump, the Trump administration and all of his generals. No, this is not what is going on right now. I'll tell you what, I'm going to make an analogy with a failed movement that happened 7 years ago, which was the Occupy movement in the U.S. and worldwide. Well, the Occupy movement started kind of like that, anti-capitalist, apolitical. Quickly, very quickly, because that's the problem with those movements, very quickly it got hijacked by different interests and different groups to turn it into a voting bloc for the re-election of Barack Obama in 2012. Now, what everybody has to be cautious, and everybody in those movements, in the Gilets Jaunes movement, have to be very, very cautious not to let that energy that is developing in France, which nobody really controls, you know, this type of event, you sort of have to ride them. You cannot try to control the energy. I mean, I was a little young but I recall very well. I was 11 years old in 1968, and it was that type of energy as well, the type of energy that a popular protest can and likely will topple a government. Now, this is a sort of a mini revolution. Wrong historical and sociological comparison, however, because 1968 was at first a student protest, so complete different demographic at the inception, and also different type of aspiration. It was more like a generational clash, okay? And I've said that in my analysis, it was more about free love and kind of a sexual revolution, if you wish, of the 60s, which was also prevalent in the U.S. with Woodstock and the anti-Vietnam War movement, than about practical concern of the working class, bread and butter concern, which is the start of this.
Well, still, here we are. We've had, as you mentioned, you've had Sarkozy, you've had Hollande, you've had, and we now have Macron. And the protest movement, no question about it, has taken on a sense of a demand for a new direction. Even Macron himself has said that he assumes some blame for the craziness that has been going on in France, the chaos, the difficulty people are having just getting simple things done, getting through their day, getting their jobs done. And that he takes personal responsibility for that. But that's not the point, is it? It's not a, you know, having a public act of contrition at this time, after things have already blown up, it seems to me that what people want to get is a sense of where the country is going. All well and good now say to, you know, to usher in a period of peace for the president to say that, yes, I admit I did some things wrong, but it doesn't solve the problem.
Yes, absolutely, Utrecht. And he did, it was kind of a mea culpa. And he looked, his body language was very uncomfortable. He kind of looked shell-shocked, to be honest with you. And he didn't have the his kind of usual arrogant smirk on his face. But the thing is, I would say that it's kind of that at this stage, the four proposal he made, the four concrete proposal, which are largely hollow, and we can go back to this if you want. It's kind of like proposing some new wallpaper and curtains while the house is burning. You know, it's not something that is going to calm anything. It's sort of like you know, the lord of the castle or the prince throwing some coins to the you know, to the peasants in the Middle Age, you know, before Christmas. It will not do it. People want justice. They want equality. They want a fair distribution of wealth. They want, most importantly, and this is extremely positive, what they want is a direct democracy. They do not feel like the political class represent them anymore, just like in most countries in the world. It's the same with the U.S., where a lot of people, most of them, do not feel like the Republican and Democrat represent them. And it has become like that in France as well, where you have, less so than in the U.S., where you have most politicians in the back pocket of lobbyists. Now, what I'm saying more deeply here, okay, the far right, inspired by murky sort of pseudo-ideologue like Steve Bannon, okay, calling themselves whatever, nationalist populist, they think they can kind of piggyback on the force of this movement by supporting their pawn in France, which is Marine Le Pen. But the Gilets Jaunes is not a racist anti-immigration movement. Okay? It's not even per se an anti-EU movement. It is, however, an anti-EU movement if the EU stay, the EU of banks, of the IMF, and of the World Bank, and of course, so we have right now two models that are really only one model, because, you know, in this Orwellian construct, nothing is really what it seems to be. You have this pseudo fight between the nationalist populist in one side and the globalist on the other that are supposed to be represented by Macron. But this is a complete false issue to confuse people, because ultimately those two pseudo enemies are all at the service of corporation, of corporate imperialism. So they are both models that are absolutely horrible for not only for France, for Europe, but for the rest of the world. No. So it's kind of an interesting, I think it could be. I just don't want to be too hopeful either, because we've seen that with the Arab Spring, where a true movement that started in Tunisia then got hijacked and used by the U.S. and the French and English ally to do regime change in Libya and try to do the same in Syria. So we have to be cautious because, again, they will try. And what I'm saying is they, and it's not only one group of people, it's several, to use the energy of that movement to accomplish various agenda, geopolitical agenda for the U.S., which is to try to get the EU to implode as a political, as a strong political entity, and also as a military entity. Emmanuel Macron has rightly said that he wants to develop a European army, which I find it to be an excellent idea. One reservation in my case, it's only a good idea if it's not a professional army, but a conscript army. If it's an army of citizens, then it could be good. But, you see, people are, you know, even in France, the mainstream media have become full of, like, elements of psychop and disinformation. There's some people are saying in France that Russia could be behind the Gilets Jaunes, which is completely false. Some people are saying, there's even the absurd is joining in. The King of France in wedding, Louis the 20th, has said that he's, he's supporting the Gilets Jaunes. Imagine that, the heir of the crown wanting to join the Gilets Jaunes sans culotte. I mean, he currently resides in Spain. But this is completely absurd. And that's what happened with this kind of movement. People try to exploit it in various ways. But I want to make another historical analogy here, which is, I think, a lot more relevant because of the sort of global rise of fascism that we see going on as well. And it is to talk about what was called in France the Front Populaire. And that was in 1936, right before World War II. And it joined the Radical Socialists, the Socialists, and the French Communist Party. And it was a reaction against the rise of fascism in Italy, the fascist war of General Franco against the Spanish Republic, and, of course, the rise of Hitler. And this, to me, is perhaps a even more pertinent analogy, because it's not as far in time than 1789, because this is what we have now. The French left, in my opinion, have to reorganize and reassess what was called in 1936 les convergences des luttes, which means to make struggle converge, okay? And we're going to see that this weekend. I'll explain why. The strongest labor union in France, which is the CGT, largely communist, anti-racist movement in France, will joining the Gilets Jaunes, because the Gilets Jaunes have been infiltrated by far-right elements. And that is true, okay? So there is a lot at play, and it's also at play not only in France, because this sort of movement, which nobody exactly know what to do with and what to think of it, is spreading in Belgium, the Netherlands, Germany, Serbia, Bulgaria, and even Iraq. Okay, so in Serbia and Germany, however, it is controlled by the far right. It is controlled by the neo-fascists. So what I'm saying here, we go back to a situation of little bit less than 100 years ago, and this is what we have now, because we actually have neo-fascists in Europe, in power, in Austria, Hungary, and one of them, Matteo Salvini in Italy, is Minister of the Interior. All those people are adamant anti-Islam, anti-immigration, proponent of fortress Europe, and largely fundamentalist Christians.
Well, let's talk about how this is being covered. Since it began, since the roiling began, the upsurge in protest began, Gilets Jaunes, as you correctly said, Gilets Jaunes is in the middle of, or I should say, is at the center of, at least in terms of media coverage, is seen as the agitator, the main agitating force. Who are the Gilets Jaunes? What is the Gilets Jaunes?
Gilets Jaunes are people from all kind of background, and it's from 18 years old to 70 years old. Some of them are retirees. They're all over France. When you see a map of France with the Gilets Jaunes activity, it's everywhere. And the French media have been trying to spin it on the government by calling the people that are do violence casseurs. The people that vandals are like thugs. Well, casseurs in 1789, the sans-culottes, were actually insurgents, okay? So this is something here that is a critical aspect of knowing street protest. Let's say, for example, the Gilets Jaunes would have been nice and pleasant with, you know, signs and organized demonstration without doing anything, without breaking things or anything like that. They would have never been even noticed. Now, this, unfortunately, to be able to get power to concede, you have to do, and what I'm saying, you, it's, you know, of course the people that can, have to do what they have to do, okay? No, the violence from the police, as I mentioned before, was just, you know, absolutely horrendous. Now, what I want to say something that is rather interesting, because Macron, short of being able to impersonate General de Gaulle, and I'm glad he didn't do it because he doesn't have, quite frankly, the stamina of the historical importance of de Gaulle, who was facing this in 1968. He said that he wants to instill, and I'm quoting, economic and social state of emergency. Now, this is sort of kind of in the vein. One of his ministers, the heavyweight of the administration, his name is Le Drian, he's Minister of Foreign Affairs, mentioned the necessity of a new social contract. And social contract comes directly from Rousseau. Rousseau, with Voltaire and Diderot, was where the intellectual working, you know, way ahead of the French Revolution, 10 years ahead of the French Revolution, on ideas. Now, it's not a coincidence that actually Macron mentioned those words, because it does echo somewhere, but again, what the government of Macron has fully deployed so far, and that was especially the case last weekend against the Gilets Jaunes and the student, is the kind of police state of emergency, you know. And curiously enough, a state of emergency, police that is, which was officially put in place in France on November 13, 2015, using the pretext of a terrorist attack and kept in force for 2 years. So he can try going that road. It won't work. It won't work for simple reason. Android Southern police and gendarmes, if there's several million people against them or Android Southern, they will not have the upper hand. This is there's some events that are difficult to stop or even canalize. So he's going to have to do, they're going to have to do something a lot more than what they're doing.
Well, Macron has just the same, good, bad, or indifferent. He suddenly has seen the light based on the encouraged, I should say, by the protests, and has come up with a working plan that contains many important concessions, as it were. How do these concessions get implemented? What is his plan here? It's one thing to just get up and say, okay, it's my fault too. I should have given the demands of the people greater respect. I should have done this sooner. But okay, I understand what your protest is. And now here are some ideas that I have. Now, what happens?
Okay, now, because the Gilets Jaunes wanted concrete announcement, which they didn't get. Basically, Macron announced 4 concrete measures, and I have to go through them. It's an 100 euro raise on minimum wages in France, which would bring the minimum salary to 1,300 euro a month. Okay? It's a 1,000 euro of bonus with no tax for the employees and no tax for the employers, providing that the corporation can actually do it. So this is not really something that the people are going to see. So that's what I call the sort of Christmas giveaway, okay? Now, another thing which is freezing the increase of taxes for retirees who have a pension of less than 2,000 euros a month. But this is not an increase of that pension, which is very, very little for people that have worked usually for 30 years. I mean, I've heard people in the Yellow Vest movement saying that some of them, retirees, have to live digging through trash bins to find food. You know, this should not happen in a country like France. Now, the last measure, which is actually a little bit better, overtime, when you go into overtime, will be tax-free, both for the worker and the employer. So those are basically it as far as concrete measure. He did not give in on the impôt sur la fortune, on the tax for rich people, and this is basically what he did. So it's not much. And it's
but these
not
are just his ideas. I'm asking, how do these suggestions become law? Since there is, even within his own circles, there are objections to what he has put on the table, people thinking, well, they're not well thought out. And,
No. There will not be any objection on those 4 points that I mentioned. Those 4 points will be applied immediately after the 1st of January. There's no contestation of those measures. Those measures will be applied immediately within a few weeks. But what I'm saying is this is only the tip of the iceberg as far as what the Gilets Jaunes have drafted. There's a list of about 44, you know, points that the Gilets Jaunes want addressed. Some of them, well, there's some contradiction, but, you know, they're very, very precise.
Well, it remains to see how they negotiate through that logjam. But I also want to ask about the impact of these protests in the Francophone world. How is it resonating in the Francophone world?
Well, I understand that there's already a movement in Canada, in Quebec. But it's not only in the Francophone world. Once again, it's starting to spread, you know, across the across Europe. It's something that everybody, of course, is watching, including people in the U.S. Now, I want to make something very, very clear as well. Is the fact that despite what President Trump claimed on his favorite mode of communication, which is of course Twitter, people are not chanting in France in the street, "We want Trump." They do not want Trump. Okay. So that's another lie, but you know, coming from this character, it's not surprising. But it nonetheless, it gives an indication of the fact that a lot of people are scratching their head and trying to find ways to co-opt this incredible energy and see what they can do with it for other purpose, mainly geopolitical purpose, in the case of people, of course, outside France.
If you want to ask a question of our guest, Gilbert Messier, who is a co-editor-in-chief of News Junkie Post, he's discussing what is going on now in France, which is a great deal of activity on the part of the people to get something called justice out of this government. Call 888-874-4888 and we'll take your question. 888-874-4888 as we continue. All right, so what's next? Is there something, because I'm trying to keep up with it, but I was looking for a massive organizing effort to bring all people together who are dissatisfied with the performance of the French government and want something better in all these different spheres, in education, in employment, and in other areas as well. Is that going to happen?
It's happening. It's happening already. Utrecht today, it was a student on the 14th. It's going to be the labor union, and next weekend it's going to be hopefully the Gilets Jaunes and the labor union and the student uniting in la convergence des luttes, like I mentioned, which was an expression used with the Populaire of 1936, you know, but it's the political party that is actually already doing that. That's three. There's France Insoumise of Jean-Luc Mélenchon, the Parti Communiste, which has become very, very small, but is still slightly active, and the Parti Socialiste, which are also become extremely small, which was the one of François Hollande. So They have decided finally to sort of having a front of the left because they do not want, I believe, to have the. You see, we have to go back in time, and the reason why Macron got elected mainly okay? Beside his youth and his, you know, appeal to the media, to the ability to sell himself, if you wish, is the fact that at, in the second round, he was running about against Marine Le Pen, from formerly the Front National, newly the Rassemblement National. And she is of what we call in France well, let's say it in English, the brown plague of Steve Bannon, the fascist brown plague. She's very much in that. The Gilets Jaunes don't want that. Okay? The reason why Macron, I go back to my argument, was elected, that second one, it was between him and Le Pen. So, of course, nobody wants Le Pen because they know what it is, because they knew a father from the Front National, the far-right Front National, far-right racist Front National. So he got elected. It would have been, however, the person that came up third, which is Jean-Luc Mélenchon from La France Insoumise, it is likely that Jean-Luc Mélenchon would have won. No, what Jean-Luc Mélenchon is proposing is viewed and described, even in France, like a dangerous far left, you know, almost Marxist person. It's not exactly the case. The kind of measure that, that Mélenchon has proposed in the past and is still proposing is something that capitalists do not like, such as capping the wages of a CEO no more than 20 times the amount of the minimum wage person in the corporation. Okay? So if they manage, if the left manage to unite and actually start, you know, talking to people and reconnect with the population, because there's also a disconnect from the Gilets Jaunes to the labor union and to the political, the left, then there is a chance. The danger in France is to have the Rassemblement National of Marine Le Pen grab some of those Gilets Jaunes. And that's the danger. But I don't think it's going to happen, to be quite honest.
Who in the United States, which sectors of the United States do you think are monitoring what's going on in France in order to basically base some kind of a movement here in this country?
Well, some people, you know, some friend of mine and colleague of mine, I'm maturing it very, very carefully, and are extremely obviously interested in the movement, because the unfortunately, as you know, since Reagan, the labor union in this country have been powerless, and there's not a great deal of history I don't want to use a Marxist term, but I'm going to do it anyway, of class struggle in this country, because it's kind of a dirty world, because it's a Marxist and communist world. But it is what it is, you know. And that was the basically the core argument of the Occupy movement. You know, the 99% versus 1%. Well, this is still going on. The Occupy movement didn't change anything. It might have allowed Noam Chomsky to sell a few more books, but that's basically all it did. You know, so we still have the same. As I said, this is a systemic issue. This is the failure of capitalism, and this is a time for people to perhaps have a chance. No, there's something Macron said that was very good and very interesting. He said that France has sort of always been a trailblazer in many ways, and that is true. But that is true because of one thing, 1789, the French Revolution, and the ability to kill an absolute monarch, to decapitate an absolute monarch, and then to go on and get together a ragtag army of citizens, of sans-culottes, to beat all the kingdom of Europe at the Battle of Valmy in 1792. Now, that is quite a feast.
Hmm. Well, could you summarize for us where you expect in the next few days things will go?
It's all going to be depending on what plays out the 14 and this weekend. I would say that within a couple of weeks, some people will advise Macron to dissolve the Assemblée Nationale and call for new elections. That's my prognostic. And you know why? It's simple. Again, it's about some history, learning lesson from history. This is exactly what General de Gaulle did when he was president in 1968. He dissolved the Assemblée Nationale. He actually got a nice majority. Nonetheless, he was fed up of a country that he used to say, well, how can you govern a country who has more than 360 chiefs? And, you know, in a sense, he's right. You know, French people, you have me on the show all the time, interrupt, argumentative. But that's sort of our charm, you know. But eventually, de Gaulle had the dignity, which Macron will not have, to resign, to take his retirement.
Well, I want to thank you so much for bringing us up to snuff on a thing we're seeing in the news. We see it every day, and it is, quote, covered, unquote. But really, I just didn't get a sense that we understood what was actually happening at ground level. And, of course, we haven't had it translated to us, you know. What is it that we're seeing going on in France, and why should we be paying attention to it? And I thank you for walking us through many of the important aspects of this struggle. Thanks so much, Gilbert, for being with us today.
You are more than welcome, Utris, and again, everything. And I know that people know they have a very short attention span, but everything should be put in sociological and historical context.
Thank you again. Well, before we go today, I wanted to remind you, we started talking yesterday about a special retreat and paying attention to your health, which is very, very important. I try to stress it so that you remember that this is not just incidental to your life. This is your life. Your health is your life. There is going to be a special retreat from January the 13th to 19th, and this is aimed at bringing all the pieces together so that you can take it from there and affirm authority over your life. The person to call is Luann Panessi. That number is 903-881-7008. I don't want you to miss this at all. I want to tell you, as I started yesterday talking about losing a friend, 47 years old, and it is so clear that, you know, stress, just the simple business of stress in his life, causing all of these things to go haywire in his system. And to some extent, we're all there. We're all there. We're not at peak form. Take advantage of this opportunity to bring your health back under control, and so that you could last as long as you possibly can, and to help people understand things. To bring an understanding that, like today, we don't normally get. So it's Luann Panessi. She's at 903 881-7008. I would love for her to report that the lead story's audience is really taking the hint and leading the way and saying, yes, I don't have the answers about how do I maintain my health as long as I possibly can. But once you are put on the path of regulating your own health and you just keep following it, you will so dramatically improve your health conditions, your natural state of health, and you would last longer, which is what we want. A whole bunch of us have been taken out of circulation, and that is a plan. Let us do whatever we can to take people out, but don't let it happen to you. Call again, 903-881-7008. I don't want all of the slots to be taken away without you having at least an opportunity to explore how you can dramatically increase your health. Thanks so much for listening today, and we'll talk again tomorrow. Bye bye. Let's go.